This morning we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Those of you who recall kind of our travels as we've been going through this, Paul's kind of writing back. He's gotten word, was real concerned about, you know, whether they had received the things that he had written in the first letter, because some of those things were hard things to say. Sometimes saying hard things, you wonder how that's going to land, how that's going to be received when someone says something that's more difficult. But we get to chapter 4 as he's kind of moving along and he's sharing about just the gospel itself and how that we're veiled. You know, we have this covering on us. We're blinded by the ruler of this world, by Satan. We're blinded until the veil comes off and we see Jesus for who he is. And this is the unveiling that happens when we open our lives to the Lord and then all of a sudden we see who Jesus really is. We talked about that in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians in our last study. And really we talked about the significance of prayer, having a effective prayer life. You see, that veil doesn't come off by your persuasive communication or you're harping or pounding on people, or just going Bible thumper style and trying to pound the gospel into somebody's mind and heart and life. If you can talk them into believing, that means someone can talk them out of believing. That's a dangerous spot. Though I would love to be persuasive enough to talk many people into believing, I know that someone could talk them out of it. So it really needs to be, we talked about that, it needs to be that work of the Spirit in the heart and mind of a person. That there's a transaction that takes place, a binding agreement that takes place in the realm of the Spirit, where someone says yes to Jesus, they surrender their life, and now they've been born again, as the Bible declares. And that's the transaction that we want to see take place. See, now you and I are no longer responsible for anything other than communicating the gospel to someone. The response is up to the individual. That's their obligation to respond one way or the other. Ours now, though, if we're going to communicate effectively, we want to be praying for people, praying for opportunities where that veil would come off. The veil that's over them, because the Satan, the ruler of this world, has blinded them to the truth of who Jesus is and who God is and the triune Godhead that God wants to forgive, that we've got a debt we can't pay. Right? We're obligated to something. We can't pay that debt. But that blinder would come off and they would see Jesus. So prayer is the most effective way. And we talked about that. That was in our recent study. And so you can go back and grab that disc or go back through and listen to those. But the beginning of this in really kind of sharing with others or reaching out to others is prayer. That's the first part of this. The next thing we get to begins in verse 6. I know your area in your Bible when you read through. Now, some of you have this, some of you don't. But a lot of times it's not only got a heading on it on some of them, right? It's got a little heading on your Bible. But sometimes it's got like a bolder numeric in it. That's a pericope break. So in other words, it's this thought when you start. And it's got this thought in it. And sometimes within that main thought, there's going to be these breakdowns of kind of a thematic topic or something that they're stressing, that they see as the translators see as a stressing, kind of not a total break in thought, but just something that it kind of picks up a different portion. So you'll see that. Sometimes it says, you know, like mine says, cast down, but unconquered. You know, that's what my heading says. Some of them say different. And it's in verse 7 is the bold letter. Some of you got that. Well, we're going to create our own bold letter in verse 6. We're going to really pick up our thought in verse 6 because it really, from my perspective, it really ties in, you know, to this thought that Paul's saying. First, he's talking about prayer and how we can pray for those and how important it is that veil come off. And so we want to be effective in our communication and reaching others with the gospel. And so we want to pray. But then there's this deep purpose in what we're trying to communicate. And that purpose and what has God entrusted to you and I. And we're going to get into that right now. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have that treasure, the unveiled Jesus Christ in our hearts as believers. That is the treasure, the simple gospel itself. The good news of Jesus Christ is the treasure. Now, what's interesting to me is God has chosen to place that treasure in earthen vessels. You and I are not perfect vessels, but earthen vessels. Vessels that are a little bit fragile in certain ways. You know what you and I find that's an interesting thing as believers? That sometimes when we're just doing just great, everything's going good, you feel like your ducks are in a row, whatever your term might be, but you feel like everything's lined in and it's just going real well, whatever that might mean to you. You know, you just, things are in place and just ticking right along and going good. You have that sense that things are just right. And sometimes those are the less productive times in the gospel. When you and I are absolutely at our wit's end about issues, or when we're really struggling, or maybe you've got a serious health issue, whatever the struggle, whatever the circumstance might be, but we become fully dependent on the Lord, all of a sudden, man, you start finding you're so much more tuned into opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to talk to people about the Lord and to interact with people. It ought not to be that way. I agree. You know, I agree that it ought to be that we should just be in that mode all the time. And I think that's a great goal to shoot for. But one thing I have observed is that when we are totally dependent on the Lord and we're really struggling and we know we're struggling, man, it just opens the door for the Lord to really move in our lives because we're totally trusting on Him. Our focus is more on God and less on the things of this world. He's placed that treasure in a fragile vessel. You and I do go through struggles. We do face those issues. We have a hard time. There's problems. The difference is you and I have hope in the midst of our struggle as Christians. We have hope in the midst of our problems. A hope. And that's the gospel itself, the good news, that this isn't all there is. And that really is what we want to share with other people, is that this isn't all there is. The struggle isn't all there is. The swelling bank accounts or lack thereof isn't the issue. Those things aren't the main things, are they? The main thing is the person of Jesus Christ that dwells within us. He's placed this treasure in earthen vessels, the treasure of the gospel itself, the good news. Now, do you believe that he's placed that treasure there and just said, hey, just put it in there, just bury it deep, and just don't do anything with it? My dad is a great investor. I'm speaking of God. My heavenly Father is a great investor. And you know, what's interesting to me is he's chosen to invest in the likes of you and me. He's chosen to place the most precious possession on the face of this earth, and that's the gospel, in you. Now, did he do that just for you to sit like a bump on a pickle? You know, hey, I'm saved. Praise God for me, I'm saved. That's awesome. That's wonderful. And we should rejoice in our salvation, no doubt, that God has reached out and touched us and made himself known to us. But man, the greatest thing is that God can flow through us. He's placed his treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. I love that. I love that. I love that. The main reason I really, really think that is so important is because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. You and I aren't some great find. You're not the great find. God loves you, but you're not that great find. And do you realize you add nothing to God? God is God, with or without us. We are the great beneficiaries. God is capable of a perfect love, and that means he loves you unconditionally. He has a heart for you. And he loves you and he loves me. But he loves us enough not to leave us like we are. He wants to shape and mold us and change us. This gospel that he's placed in us, this good news, He puts it in us in such a way that it might not be of us. We talked about it on Wednesday night because we were talking about Saul's life and his subsequent death. And what ultimately killed him was an Amalekite, a type of the flesh. Again, you'd have to grab the disc on that from Wednesday night. But we talked about the type of the flesh and how the flesh kills. Jesus said that the flesh profits nothing. And one of my questions on Wednesday night is, do you believe that? I don't think you believe that. We spend so much time in and of our own energies and efforts. Paul the Apostle said, man, he was so heartfelt when he was so clear about opening up and just letting the Spirit rule and reign in our lives as followers. Having begun, he said, in the Spirit, as he had written to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected in the efforts of the flesh? And so often we aspire to gain a better place with God by our efforts. And God says, you don't need to do that. I love you and accept you just the way you are. Just like you are, I love and accept you. That's so wonderful to know. And it should cause us just to run into his presence and just hang out with him and love on him and let God love on us in return. Because the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This is the thing. This is where it all comes together, is this. If you could save yourself, if you, in fact, could save yourself, if you could make the debt right between you and God, any human being, if we could make it right by any efforts or any works or any things that we could do, you have, in effect, if that was possible, which it is not, because if that is possible, then it nullifies the cross. Then we don't need the cross. Do you, as a believer, depend on the cross? We have to depend on the cross, not only for salvation, but for everything that we need for life. We depend on the Lord. See, it's not of our efforts, and this is such a key thing for the Christian experience, to know that it's not of all of our efforts. It's just living out our life following the Lord, letting God have his way, letting God be victorious in us. You see, if in fact you had this wonderful, awesome, great willpower, and you could say that I stopped doing this, or I got saved because I did that, and I did this, and I, and that you have some great quality that makes then somehow you able to have this interaction with God, what does that do to the person that doesn't have that quality that you're interacting with? You just shot him in the foot or in the head. Basically, what hope is there for them? You see, this is the common denominator when we have people come and share their experience, and this is the common denominator of all of us in the experience in meeting Jesus Christ, is we all have vast and various different backgrounds, but we met the Lord. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we met the Lord. We came to salvation. We met Jesus. Jesus met us where we were at. But that's not because you're something. It's because God's something. And somebody was praying that your eyes would be unveiled, that you'd be able to see the Lord for who he is. You and I, everybody that's a believer here is a byproduct of somebody's intercessory prayer. Somebody was praying for you. When you get to the other side, you'll find out who and how many. Maybe there's a whole bunch of people. Some are so messed up, probably a whole lot of people praying for us. Thank God, huh? But the reality is if you came off of substance and you're talking about the excellence of the glory of yourself and how, well, you know, really, you know, God help me, but I've got this great willpower and I was just able to just turn away from things and everything. What does that do for the guy like me that's got no willpower at all? It leaves you hopeless. That's what it does. It leaves you absolutely wanted and hopeless. Please, please, God help every one of us. I include myself 100%. Please, just dismount. Get off the high horse. Quit thinking it has anything to do with you and just get real and know when you look in the mirror, man, I'm messed up without God. Because you are. That's not because Pastor Jim says that. It's because the Bible says that. It's because God says that. The Bible says no, not one is worthy. No, not one. None of us. But we just don't. This is what I said. Do you believe what Jesus said about the flesh? That the flesh profits nothing. Do we really believe that? And I'm talking about in the spirit realm, in connecting with other people, in reaching people with the gospel, any of the things that matter in the spirit realm, the flesh profits nothing. Zero. And so when we look at this and we see just this first part, we have this treasure. One that Jesus has shown in our hearts. He's chosen to make himself real to us. That light of the knowledge of the glory of God dwells within us. That's the treasure. In verse 7, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed, Paul goes on and says, on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Understanding that we've got to die to ourself. Understanding that we've got to die to ourself. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires is what the Bible says. I understand. We talked about this again. I know it's not the most popular message. I get it. But it's the truth. Crucify it. Just put it to death. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, but in so doing, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. In other words, killing the deeds of the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Again, we talked about that idea of we can walk in the spirit or we can walk in the flesh. When I walk in the spirit, I crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, and I walk in the spirit. And when I walk in the spirit, it pleases God. When I walk in the flesh, it profits nothing. There's no pleasing God in that. And no matter how noble, no matter how righteous, no matter how seemingly good that task or that endeavor may be, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 solidifies that. It's clear. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. And he goes down this whole list. I give up my body to be burnt, whatever sacrificial things we might do, but have not love. In other words, if it's not motivated on the work of God's Spirit, it profits nothing. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. We want to see Jesus, let people see Jesus in us and through us. Again, sometimes that means that there's things that we may really, really like to do, and God's not wanting us to not enjoy our lives or do things, but sometimes priority-wise, it just doesn't work out. If you have a young family or you're getting ready to have a young family, one of the first things that I tell people is one of the big keys that you find out, you think it's in marriage. Oh, no. No, just wait till you have the first child. Selfless living just started. All of a sudden, you and your spouse aren't the priority anymore. Because someone just entered into your world that is 100% dependent on you. And if you would, just for a moment, realize that God wants you to be like that with him. 100% dependent, trusting him, looking to him. But this selfless life can be used in a wonderful way to show the love of God. It can be used in a wonderful, powerful way when we do it from the right heart. When we let God be that priority that God desires to be in our lives. And whether with or without children, that's just an example. I'm just sharing with you that something's got to die. In other words, sometimes some of our selfish planning and what we want to do and how we want to do this and all these things, if that maybe that doesn't always fit in with what God wants to do in a situation. And when we're sensitive to the Spirit, we've got this opportunity. We see God kind of is that voice in us is speaking to us saying, well, maybe that's not the right time for that. Maybe you ought to do this. Well, I don't really like that much. Well, that's okay. I'd really like you to do that. Well, no, I don't want to do that, really. I want to do, and then that's the, you know, right? The battle of the wills sets in. And God's not going to force himself on you. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. No, I'm too engrossed in the ball game. I want to, look it, shut the TV off and go out and play ball with your kid. The ball game doesn't matter that much. I can say this today because the Chiefs aren't playing today, so we can talk this out all day long. But it's the truth. What's really the priority? And inside, you can't walk around like some badge of martyrdom. Oh, gosh, you know, I had to shut off the TV to hang out and have tea and talk with you for a little bit. But, you know, God's not going to honor that. I'm telling you straight up. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Learn by example. You can have a million hobbies and interests and everything, and that's all good and fine. It's okay. But man, let them fit in the right priority so that people can see Jesus in your life. Die to yourself long enough that others can see Jesus. That's simply what Paul's saying. And how can Paul say it so quickly and so much easier than some other people? Anyway, you get the idea here as we go through. Let's pick it up in verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, that same trust and belief, those spoken words of faith, for it is God, in verse 6, the spoken words of faith, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. God spoke that. Who has shown in our hearts, made himself real to us, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's revealed himself to us, that spoken word. And since we have that same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. This is the thing. One of the things that really gets me. This really gets me. It really, really does. I'm passionate about this. Do you believe in the product? I'm not talking about a sales deal here. I'm talking about the product of the gospel placed in the earthen vessel you. Do you believe in the product? That's really the whole rub on all of this today. Do you believe in the product? Do you think, and this is, again, what I love about having different people come, and I know we're all different. You've got a different story. But the whole point is the guy that was here last week is not likely going to show up to you, or anybody that's even like him is not likely to show up at your dinner table. Why? Well, he's a freak. He's not likely to show up at your dinner table. But God doesn't see it that way, does he? Remember that time the pillowcases all got stained because that one gal had blue hair and, oh my gosh. Anyway, but sometimes they do show up at your house, I guess. But anyway, the thought with all of this stuff, when you think through it, is God's placed this gospel in yours and my life for a purpose, for a reason. Not just to retain it, but to share it with others. The idea is, do you believe in the product? See, if you get too hung up on you, you think, well, you know, God got a pretty good deal, you know. And, you know, I can see why God would, you know, love me. And I can see why God would, you know, want to, you know, use me and stuff. Really? Really? The reality is no one is any better than anybody else. Maybe you had some freaky sex perversion. Nobody here knows about it, but maybe that's who you are. Maybe you have some silent drug thing that you do. Hey, the doctor gives them to me, the prescription. Okay. Maybe some of us just got involved in ones that weren't legal. Well, I just get a buzz once or twice a week. It's not like I don't get sloppy drunk. Oh, okay. See, the reality is sin is sin. It separates us from our God. And the reality is you and I, we're forgiven because of God's grace and his love, his mercy toward us. He forgives us of our sin. But when you read something like this and you see it, for plainly, we believe in the product, therefore we spoke about it. Paul is saying, man, I have been forgiven everything. Paul was running around thinking in his mind, man, you know what? I tried to kill Christians. I would have tried to kill you guys a few years ago. This is what was in Paul's mind. I would have tried to just kill you. But now I will go to any length to try and share God's love because I understand the veil came off. I see Jesus for he is. God changes lives, not yesterday. Yes, he did yesterday, but not just yesterday. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day, as long as he tarries, he'll change lives. See, the deal is, do you believe, do I believe in the product? Do we believe in that gospel that was entrusted to us? If we believe in it, it's that whole tornadic theory. If I told you there's a tornado coming, it's a mile away, we've got to get down to the shelter. I'm telling you, we're going to be grabbing our kids and we're going to be running down to the shelter. Because you're going to believe if you believe something, there's going to be action taken upon that belief, right? If I believe something true, I'm going to take action upon it. That's the key. Do I believe it? Do I believe the gospel just kind of worked good for the guy who was here last week? Do I believe the gospel just worked good for him? No, I believe the gospel works good for me, for you, and for anybody who call upon the name of the Lord. There's deliverance available. There's forgiveness available. It's the belief in the product. It hasn't changed since you got saved. The product's still the best thing on the face of this earth. Nothing fixes sin. Nothing. Nothing will fix sin except for the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing it. We proclaim it. But we've got to act upon it, not only appropriating it upon our own hearts, but making sure we convey that blood will wash and cleanse your heart too, if you will allow him to do so. That blood will forgive. I don't care what ism you're a part of. It doesn't matter. If you will open your heart to Jesus Christ, he will forgive you. That is the gospel in a nutshell. The good news to be pardoned, that the debt can be paid. The deal is, do you believe in the product? I love what Frank Drown told us when he was here. You think he believed in the product? 38 years in the jungles of Ecuador? I think so. Reached the whole people group that he was trying to get connected with and beyond. Man, that was awesome. But you know what I love that he said? He told everybody here, he says, man, if you guys would just bring one person back with you. Each of you, if you would just bring one person back with you, you wouldn't have enough room. I love it that he challenged. It would have been good for him to be here last week. You get what I'm saying? Do you believe in the product? One of the things I remember watching Revival spark is that everybody believed in the product. They were being delivered. God was touching their lives, changing their lives. They believed in the product. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, do we believe in the product? And man, then we're going to get out there and we are going to share with other people because the same God that changed me, the same God that forgave me, the same God that can fix you, fix me, that same God can do the same for anybody else that will call upon his name. That's the powerful, powerful truth of the gospel. I love this, that Paul so chose to put, we also believe, therefore we speak. We believe, so we talk about it. We believe, so we spoke about it. We believe. We believe, and so we talk about it, because God is real, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. That dying that we experience, that Jesus might be manifested, that ultimately this life, we will leave this planet, but we will be raised and be in the presence of the Lord, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, Paul writing to the Corinthians, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. He said, this pleases the Lord as people respond to God's good news. Therefore, now, we've kind of covered, he's placed this treasure in an earthen vessel. It's with a purpose. It's not just there for no reason. We've talked about the purpose. You and I have an opportunity every day to interact with people about who God is in our lives. If we believe that he's active and a part of our life every day. Do you believe that he's just here? Well, I just hang out with God on Sundays. You know, we know that the life of the believer is an everyday life, right? It's a day of worship every day. High schoolers, do you believe that God can change your campus? Oh, no, it's hopeless at my campus. Really? Why? Well, if I talk about God, then I'm going to have to act like a Christian. Boom, there you have it. That's the fact. If you talk about God, now people are going to look at you and think that you're going to need to be Christ-like. Yep. Well, what happens when I fail? Cop to it. Admit it. Tell them you fail. What about the college? Well, no, you don't understand. I go to this liberal college and nobody would... Oh, really? So there's no hope there? Is that right? Is there no hope? Well, you don't understand the environment I work in. I work with these other people. They don't... I was going to say blah, 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 but see, I didn't do that time. I stopped. But, you know, you go off... I'm on these construction sites, and, you know, these guys are hard, and, you know, they could care less. Really? So there's no hope for those guys either? Your office cubicle, the people that are around you, the offices that surround you. So... You being a believer and being open about being a believer, there's no hope for them. This is the thought. Do you believe in the product? You can't open their eyes, but you can pray and you can go with purpose and you can be open about who God is in your life. You can be transparent about God's changing power in all of your lives. You can be real about who God is. And when you mess it up, just say it. Yeah, I failed, man. I love this. This last portion, just a few verses here, and we'll close out. Verses 16. Starting with prayer. We need to pray in order to connect with people with the gospel, that their eyes would become unveiled so that they could see God for who he is. We talk about the purpose. Why did God trust this, put this treasure in us? And then we talk here at the closing. It's all perspective. How do you see things? How do you see your life today? Let's look at this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. All of these things, it could seem hopeless, right? But he says, no, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Now, when you're in high school, you don't feel that way. I understand. College, probably not so much, but a little bit later, you'll realize your outward man is perishing. Every morning I wake up, oh, man, I should just read this verse every day. Even though our outward man is perishing... Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. It's your perspective. Yes, the outward is perishing. We're all going to leave the planet. The outward is perishing. But the inward is being renewed because of a relationship with God. We're being rejuvenated, renewed each and every day as we put our sights on the Lord for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and internal weight of glory. So this idea of living out the Christian experience here on this side, in this life, it's not always easy. It's oftentimes going to be maybe a bit difficult. But it's a light affliction. The struggle you may face, the issues you may have, it's a light affliction in comparison to the eternal weight of glory. Oh, what a great day it's going to be. You see, we're going to know just as we're known, the Bible says. We're going to know each other. Isn't that going to be great? We get to the other side. We're going to know just as we're known. Man, we want it to count for the gospel. We want to have, what's our perspective? Is this... you know, shutting down the tube to go out and play ball or, you know, take your kid fishing or do something fun or go for a walk with your wife or your husband, whatever those activities might be, but to stay connected to one another. Gosh, all these times I've listened to people complain because they're all freaked out because this empty nest thing and everything. You know what they're freaked out about? They're freaked out about being stuck with their spouse. No, that's the truth. Because somewhere along the line, they started going different directions. Man, we were excited. God bless you guys. See you later. You know, we're excited. Gosh, we're like teenagers with a new apartment together, man. It was great. It's a great life. We enjoy each other's company. But it's largely because we kind of foster that. We want to stay connected to one another. We want to enjoy each other's company. It just this light affliction of shutting things down and doing things just to be together sometimes. Sometimes we feel afflicted by that because we want to do something different. But man, it's working for us and a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's not something that'll perish. While we do not, and this is the key, what are you looking at? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That eternal perspective. Looking at those things that are unseen. The things that maybe really matter. The things that really count for something. Well, we've talked about the significance of prayer. We've talked about the purpose of why he placed that treasure in you, that treasure. At some point, it gets down to a simple decision. Am I going to follow the Lord?